Glenn P. Alcoholic.
Amen.
Recovered alcoholic, one day at a time, practicing these principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability. And that's how we stay recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, by working through the steps, by having guys that I can count on to hold me accountable and get honest about what I'm going through and not let this disease get in front of me. Because this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. My sobriety date is 10-1-2015, so I'm coming up on 10 years very shortly. No fronts, right? I'm like almost scratching at that double-digit mark, which is I'm so grateful for. I have a sponsor, Kevin G., and my good friend Nate's up here tonight. Brandon, Wesley are some of the men that hold me accountable through the week. I have a home group, a men's stag Wednesday night called the Mad Men Group. Huh? What a name, right? Mad Men. We're not all that crazy, though. We work a book, AA book, The Steps, and it's geared towards the new man. So we have several people from Pathways or some other groups that come over. So we're of service one night a week. If you're in the area and you are a man and you want to come to that group, 7 p.m. Wednesday night at the Golden Group. If you need more details, see Nate or Kevin after the meeting. They'll give them to you. I'm grateful. My heart's beating out of my chest. I can feel every pulse in my body right now. And it's almost like the first time I took a great big hit at crack, right? Woo! Right? And what you see before you today is not the guy that you see I was when I got here. He is not that guy, right? Like, I'm still working on stuff, but I have, like, I'm an alcoholic, a hope-to-die dope fiend alcoholic who loved the nightlife, who loved everything about drugs and alcohol, who didn't paint a pretty picture at all. I didn't come from a pretty picture at all. You know, a lot of us relate to that, right? That's why we gravitated to people like us. You know, the party people, right? The hangout crowd. I think I have maybe a ninth grade education on a very good day, you know? And I come from the school of hard knocks. And so I learned the hard way through life that if I could just manipulate enough people to think like I do, I would feel okay. I would be good. I'd be comfortable in my own skin. So I always gravitated towards people that were not going to school, that were not getting good educated grades, that were not playing sports, that were not educating themselves, that were not going to church. I always gravitated to people that I could relate to because I come from a dysfunctional place. And not only does it, the physical of dysfunctionality, I grew up, giving an idea, I grew up in Guadalupe, California. And when you're white with a red afro, you're going to get your ass kicked. You know, it's going to happen. And I learned how to fight at a very, very early age. And some stuff that happened to me wasn't pretty. And I learned how to be a survivor, right? And those coping skills that I learned, the lying, the cheating, the manipulating came from when I was yay high, you know? Single parenting, my mom parented us. She was a full-blown alcoholic. She taught me how to lie, how to be decisive, how to not show up in life. And when I didn't do well, she would abuse me physically and mentally. So by the time I got into any type of high school, I didn't want any, I couldn't go. It wasn't for me. I'm just looking for a way out. I'm running away from home. I'm doing Glenn, you know, and I'm living on the streets and I'm panhandling for money. And I knew how to lie and cheat on a very early age. And it's just like, that was normal. If you didn't do that, you were not my friend. I didn't seek out pleasure. You know, I seeked out survival. I didn't have a family life, so I gravitated towards the neighbor's family life, somebody else's family life across the street. You know, they had a normal upbringing, going on vacations and all that stuff. I didn't have any of that. And I think about my story and I go, man, that's a sad story, right? But I think about that time of my life. It helped me understand that I absolutely was a survivor, right? And that I could do anything if I put my mind to it. And that was the only thing that good that came out of that. And I think about all the years that I tried to manage and control my drinking and my friends and picking the right crowd and just partying enough and still managing my life through drugs and alcohol and working and thinking that was okay. That was before the line was crossed. You know, there were several things in my life that I've always wanted to do. And I ended up trying those things out and they didn't work out. And so when I got out of the service, I'm going to jump forward to my drunk log because I think recovery is the most important part of this whole thing. But I want you to know, I identify. If you're sitting in this room and you're new, right, and you think your life is over, no matter what your age is, guess what? It's just beginning. It's just starting. All you have to do is get out of the way. Do what we do. Practice these principles in all our affairs. What are the principles? The principles that are outlined in the 12 steps. We learn how to get honest. We learn how to have hope. We learn how to come to and find a God of our own understanding. We find courage here. I was full of fear when I got here. Courage. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew how to manipulate to get what I needed so I can look good on the outside so you people would think I was okay. That was the deal because I was like that, right? And then I learned how to have integrity. I learned how to be willing, do the things that I don't want to do just so I can stay sober. Willingness is the key in step 6. That's the principle, which sets me up for humility in 7, brotherly love in 8, 9 is forgiveness and justice, 10 is perseverance. How many of us here are sitting here today because of perseverance? We didn't give up. We checked ourselves in. We went to maybe a recovery house or a recovery center, or maybe we finally got our ass kicked enough where we came through the door and we said, all right, I'll do it your way. Right? We know about perseverance, but sometimes we can be negative in perseverance, right? Because we can take that all the way down the scale. I can find myself in jails, institutions, or the most ugly thing would be death, right? Because we do that here. That's what we do. Anyway, I think about my life, what it was like before I got here. I tried Alcoholics Anonymous. In 1988 was my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was a co-ed meeting. There was a thing called crack cocaine epidemic in the 80s, and I was a part of it, you know. And I was sucked up and messed up, and I walked into that room, and that room saved my life. I might have not stayed sober, but those people loved me. They planted the seed that there was something better going on in life than what I had. Because when I walked into that room, I was about 160 pounds sopping wet, gums bleeding from the teeth, and I was a mess. And I was dying. I was physically dying. And I thought, man, I don't know how you guys do this. You know, in 1988, the epidemic was so rapid, you could buy it in every street corner in Los Angeles. And you didn't need a dealer. You didn't need a pager. You can just show up somewhere and get it. And by when I got into that room, there were people there who had time, and they were using the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and cutting out the word alcoholic and putting addict in it. This is all they had, was the big book of AA. A lot of programs came out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. NA, right? Little A, fucking A. Just kidding. Overeaters, Little Peters. Any of those guys here? Don't lie. But a lot of programs came out of the big book of AA, right? It was a guideline to progress, and people were dying. And I was able to get a seed planted in me to know that I was killing myself. And I could identify with the stories that were in the rooms because they were talking the talk and they were walking the walk. And people were staying sober. And I get 30 days and go out, 28 days and go out, a year. I got a year one time, went out. I got 18 months, came back, got 18 months, went out again. And I couldn't get it. Getting it meaning surrendering, conceding to my innermost self that I couldn't control this anymore. That is the first step in recovery, that I concede from my head to my heart that I've surrendered to a God of my understanding, because I can't take a proper step one unless I'm willing to surrender and let go. And when that happens, I'm transferring that power to something greater than me, and it's called God. That's me. That's my story. That's who I am. You know, I'm a God guy now. I can't believe I said that, right? Like, I can't believe I have a God of my own understanding. Well, my Lord and Savior saved me years ago, but I turned my back on him and I went to the streets with it. That's my story. It might not be everybody else's story, but I'm here to share a message of hope. If you're dying inside and you're here, like I said, and you're new and you think your life is over, it's just beginning, because my life today is incredible. It is incredible. God has taken me from the depths of death and put me into a place of living. I have gratitude today that everything that I went through to get here, to stay here, every marriage that I blew through two marriages, right? So blowing through two marriages and taking hostages, I like to call hostages, you know, people who don't really understand our disease, but I'm going to manipulate them because I can only feel comfort with them. I'm so codependent. I need to have a person in my life that has got their crap together, because I'm falling apart. And that's the only way that I can feel okay. I don't know anything about this connection with God. I'm separated from God because I've been through so much trauma in my life. There's so much garbage in my life that I can't see the forest through the trees. I think it's everybody else's fault, and I'm blaming you for stuff I do. This is just the way I am. Don't you understand? If you would be like I was back in the day, you'd do this too, right? We all got those excuses, you know. We can line them up for days and days and days. I thank God for the program of AA. I thank God for the people that are in my life today, but the people who paved the way years ago that did the work in this program to pass it on to the people that ended up being in my life to show me the way on how to stay clean and sober and find a God of my understanding, you know. The big book is our Bible. It's our Bible. If I open it up and I read it and I study it and I have somebody to guide me through it, because I know a lot of people that come in and they read the book. They're pretty smart people. Like, they can read and comprehend what's in this book. But here's the deal. Just because I read and comprehend something doesn't mean that I'm going to apply the actions and directions that are laid out in this book. I might miss that. I might just miss that. Or where is step one in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? What was Bill's talking about when he fell to his knees and he asked God to remove his sins, root and branch? Why did he do it then? And then he changed it to defects of character later. Same stuff. We got a power of an enemy that's out to kill us and destroy us every single day. Every single day. Even when you're sober and you're here for a while and you're working it out, and then you flatline and you're just kind of here and you go to two meetings a week, then one meeting a week, and then you stop coming to meetings and you stop talking to people and you've got this judgment going on and you're like, you know what? I don't like that meeting anyway. So-and-so stole my this, and so-and-so owed me money for that, and so-and-so slept with me, but you know what? I didn't get anything out of it. They broke my heart, and so-and-so and so-and-so. But I need to look at my part. That's the beauty of this program. It lays out a prescription to uncover, discover, and discard. And it's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard to sit down and take pen to paper and go, okay, column by column, how did this happen? How did I get here? What's going on with me? Why do I feel so empty inside? How come nothing's working? Why do I keep going and I feel crappy? When I celebrated my first year in recovery, when I got here so fast, so just know it was a mess. I was a constant relapser, right? That was my pitch. Constant relapser, Glenn. I came in and out. I got here in 2012, beat up and messed up and broken up. And I got here in 2012, and I stayed sober 10 days, 15 days, go out. I had a sponsor named Joe Kay. He was a great guy. He was patient, loving, and tolerant with me. He would never fired me. He just said, man, we're going to get another day. We're going to get another day. You know, and that's what he did. He allowed me to do what I needed to do. Thank God I didn't die, that I was able to get out of the way and say, okay, man, I want to do this. And that wasn't until October 1st of 2015. And in that year, the first year of my sobriety, I was married for 23 years. She left. Soon as my son went to college, she was gone. And that broke me. I never thought she would leave. She was waiting and counting the days for our son to leave so she could leave. And I remember just feeling scared, and I had 4 months of sobriety. And you know who was here for me? You people. You rented rooms from my home. You showed up and kept me out of fear by keeping me busy, by going to barbecues and hanging out and playing games till late at night. That was the best that I could do. I didn't know really a lot about the steps. I did some step work, but I wasn't really involved. But I needed you people more than I needed a God. And that's just the truth, right? Because not everybody comes here going, oh, I think I'll just find God. God's wonderful. God has a spirit. He's going to save me from my own thinking and my actions. No. When you're broken like me, I need love. I need physical love, right? And I don't know what the spiritual process is, but I need you people more than I need anything else. And you guys saved my life. You got me involved, right? Next thing I know, I'm secretary in a meeting at 8 months of sobriety. And then I get involved with speaker commitments, right? I'm picking up Stan from Los Alamos. Who takes a job in Los Alamos when you got no car? Jesus! Freaking killing me, dog! But you know what? No excuses for anybody in here who don't have a license, doesn't have a job, and it's too far. It's too far. Self-supporting through our own contributions is what I got out of you. And you're still here. What are you, 12? 12 years of sobriety right here. This guy, I used to go pick him up because I just wanted to stay sober more than I can breathe. I didn't care that I had to drive all the way out to San Ynez and come home. And we would have speaker meetings on the way back, you know. I probably talked more than he did, but but we make friends, right? And that was the best that I can do, was just camaraderie. And then when that started to fade, and I started to see the emptiness of what I didn't have, that's when the work began. The work began. Now, that might happen to you right now. In chapter 5, I'm going to read a little bit out of chapter 5. In chapter 5, it describes how it works. Some of us, we go to meetings and we hear people say, I don't know how it works, but it's working. Well, there's a whole book here to tell us how it works, but there's a chapter called How It Works. Right? And I'm not saying that to belittle anybody. I'm just telling you, we miss the obvious here because we think we know. I thought I knew everything. I wasn't going to read anything out of a book. Are you kidding me? Why would I want to do that? It never worked for me before. I had to learn how to read here. I had to learn how to understand what I was reading here too. And then I had to learn how to apply it. So in the book, it describes the problem. Then it describes the solution. Then it describes the action to the solution. And just because I know, that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I can have great intentions all day long and do nothing about it. Okay? But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to stay sober, because I'm still living proof of that. I stayed sober. But the time will come, if you stay here long enough, you cannot outrun yourself. It's impossible. You will bump into yourself. And you will find a way to face your demise. You will find a way to face that. And in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in chapter 5, it says, we demand in grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Well, I kind of overlooked the rigorous part. The rigorous part is probably the most important word in that whole thing. You think it's honesty, but the rigorous means it defines my character. Because I don't know about you, if I don't change my character, nothing changes. I just have good intentions. And if I stay in so much fear that I don't want to practice that serenity prayer, the courage to change the things that I can, guess what happens? I stay in fear. I have to do a little bit of something so I can get out of that space, right? So rigorous honesty. Can I look at myself at this point, no matter where you're at in your walk with sobriety, whether you just got here or you've been here for years, can I look at that and say, am I working things out? Or am I still holding on to some of my great ideas? And it might not be alcohol related. They might be other things. And through working the steps, I get to admit that I don't have, well, I get to admit that I have control issues, really, is what it comes down to, because powerless is less power. I don't have power to control my emotions, Now that I'm sober for a while and I work these steps, drink's not the problem. Alcohol, dope, sex, whatever you put in there, womenizing, manizing, whatever your deal is, it's not the problem. It's me. I'm the one that won't face my inner demons, the things that control me, right? So I need to do a spot check, right? Like the book outlines it perfectly, and I'll get into that. But demands rigorous honesty. And then it says, when you are ready to take certain steps, when you are ready to go to any length and take certain steps, then we work these steps. So I have to come to a place of surrender from my head to my heart for this to happen. If that doesn't happen, I just kind of go with the motions. And then I'm on step three and I'm afraid of step four. I'm freaking out. Oh my God, they're going to know everything about me. I got to dump my sex inventory on somebody. I got to do this. I got to do. No, you get to uncover. I got to uncover and discover the crappiest things in my life that kept me loaded. I got to see the real character that was within me by staying sober long enough to get me out of the way to say, you know what, my best thinking got me here. My best thinking will take me out of here. And if I don't do the work, I won't stay here. And I'm a really good procrastinator. I don't know about you guys, but I love to just put things off. And I'll just have faith. I got a faith. You know, I know God. All right, it's all good. Faith without works is dead. That's what the book tells me. It is completely dead. That means I must get involved in my life and work change. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, right? But if I just inch by inch, and I don't look at your sobriety as a measuring stick to where my sobriety is, I just keep my nose on my own freaking paper. I put myself to the grindstone. I get honest with another human being about where I'm at. And I stayed sober. That's how I've done it. That's been my experience. We don't do this thing perfectly, but it's got to be done. Otherwise, I don't stay here. And if I stay here and don't do the work, you know what I become? Another product of victim. I become what's not going on. What's not working? How come I can't get into a relationship that sticks? Why is it that I keep picking the wrong people to put in my life? How come I have a God problem? Why? Because I'm still trying to control the outcome. That's the truth. That's my story. That's what I do. Don't you know who I am? I'm a survivor, man. I've been doing this one way for so many years. But all I have to do is look back at my life, and I can see why I've hurt families. On page 18 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it has a great description of our illness. And it says this, an illness of the sort. It says, but not so with the alcoholic illness, for with there goes annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. Now, who here has done that? That's it? Really? Everybody should have their hand up, right? We're being honest, right? No shame. There's no shame here, condemnation or guilt, man. We are all in this together. We recover together. The last time we looked in the steps, it says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives are manageable, right? And it says, it brings misunderstanding and fierce resentment. Huh. How many people did I get that got angry with me? You're not coming home on time. Where you been? What are you doing? Where's all the money going? Why is there $800 out of our account? Explain that one, right? What are you doing in North Hollywood at a hotel at 4 in the morning with $800 out of our account? Yeah. That's what I do because I'm a pig. I need it all. Alcohol, dope, prostitutes. Yeah. Much easier that way, right? Just stay loaded, have some fun, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's my dirt makeup. You're no different. We just utilize it different, right? You know? I think it's important that I stay honest in this program. And I'm not that person today. I've recovered from that. I don't stay out to 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I don't look for girls on the street corners. I don't, you know, message people for one night stands. I don't get involved with people that are going to shake in my sobriety. Right? But for the grace of God, there I go. But I don't do that today. There's a boundary there because I don't want to go backwards. I'm either going backwards or forwards. If I stay right in the middle, it's hard. I'm still managing and controlling, right? And so it says, blameless children. Both my kids were you know, a product of alcohol, you know, of me drinking too much and using too much and coming home late. And so I'm going to jump up to Weagnostics real quick. There was something in here that caught my eye, and I didn't see this until year five. That's so, like, here forever. I've worked some steps. Nobody really told me about this. I thought I had a God of my own understanding, but I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And it started out with the willingness. My sponsor told me, just have some willingness, but he never really told me where to go, where it said that in the book. So I did some studying on my own, and it said, if I have the willingness to believe in a power greater than myself, I will commence to get results. Anything was better than me doing what I was doing in year five. Because in year five, man, I was still running the game from the outside world into here. I was still trying to run it, you know. I was still trying to have a good time all the time and hip slick and cool. And I wasn't doing any undercover work on the inside, you know. And so I developed a relationship with my God. And it says, God of our own conception. I really like that because the God that I grew up with was a punishing God. He was a God that was going to kept me in guilt and shame and condemnation. He wasn't a God of forgiveness. He was a God that looked at me like this. I had a very distorted idea of God. I thought he was picking on me all the time. Picking on me. So it kept me from having a relationship with him. And it says, God does not make two-hearted terms with those who seek him. Those aren't my words. It's on page 46 in Weagnostics. So it's given me some simple outlines if I don't believe. They wrote the chapter of Weagnostics because of the fact that these were people who didn't believe that came to believe. So they're telling us, this is what I did. I stayed willing to believe that something bigger than me, something more powerful than me, can help me get out of step one. Right? And it can help me understand that there was something bigger than me that could help me with my problem. And my problem was still a very outlaw character. Nightlife, you know the gamut, right? I don't need to paint the picture. It was just there. But once I started to see how this power was working in my life and I started to understand it, it gave me a foundation to really do a thorough four-step. And where this God I found to understand was on page 55. And it's described this way. It says, actually, we were fooling ourselves for deep down. And every man, woman, and child is the basic fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity. You know what that is, right? Like the voices in my head, right? By pomp, so my ego gets in the way. And by worship of other things, things that I idolize. And I put before God. This God of my own understanding. And then it says where to find it. It says this. It says that it was deep down within us. This is where we find it. Deep down within us. So there's some kind of spirit that's already there that I'm supposed to tap into. There's something already here. That's what this book tells me. It says we finally saw that faith, that kind of God, was part of our makeup just as a feeling for an old friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly. But he was there. And so sometimes searching fearlessly is all I got to do is take a really good look at my life. And I can see every place that I put myself in where I should have gotten shot. I should have been stabbed. I should have been thrown in jail. I should have died. Medical. I've had cancer four times. Four times. I'm sitting here today as a not only a miracle from the disease of alcoholism, but also being able to stay in front of a blood cancer that I've been living with for many, many years. And it's a miracle that I'm still here, right? And so all I got to do is look back in my life and I can go, well, he was there because I wasn't, right? When I was taking that big hit of cocaine and the ears were, boop, you know, he was there. I didn't die. My heart was still pumping. All I have to do is take an honest look of everywhere that my life got spared. And I can say, somebody was there with me. That's how much he loved me. That's called grace. That's called mercy, right? And I didn't know anything about that when I got here. I just wanted to stay as far away from any 12-step program, run the gamut one more time, get involved with some gal that I can just totally fixate on and do what I needed to do so in order for me not to look at myself. That's my story. What you do with that is your business, right? But that's my story. That's how I've been able to get almost 10 years. That's how I don't relapse anymore. I don't relapse anymore. I'm not a chronic relapser. That's not part of my story today. My story today is strength and hope. And I get that from my Creator, and it tells me where to get it. And the book tells us how to get there. So at this point, I'm like, willing, all right, I found this. This is great, wonderful stuff. But then there's the four step, the mighty four step, personal inventory, fear inventory, sex inventory. And in that sex inventory, man, that was the one I was not going to tell you about. And in that sex inventory, it was so gruesome and ugly. That's what kept me loaded. Because I couldn't get honest with another human being. I didn't want to see my part of all the disgusting affairs that I had had. All the stuff that I had been involved with. My manipulation part of it, you know? We have to learn how to live with the guilt, the shame, the condemnation. And I don't do that very well. I have to give that to a God that's bigger than me. I can't carry it. You know that saying people say, but for the grace of God, there go I? Yeah, he saved my freaking ass, right? Thank you, God, for saving me. Because I didn't have a chance in hell out there on my own or in here on my own. I had been sober. Is it hot in here? Whoo! I'm burning up, maybe. And it's like, yeah, I'm on fire. Woo! Who made the coffee? Who made the coffee? I have to raise my hand. I'm jonesing over here. Woo! But here's the thing, and I want you to understand, the reason why I'm leaning on this so much is because I had a revelation in my life that I can't do it. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for me. There has to be something I need to tap into that can help me with my problem. There has to be. I don't know how else to do it. I can't stand here and lie to you that I've done it on my own. I can take credit for all the good behavior and the change that I've welcomed in my life. No. It's because he has been there. I have leaned on him. And so this program is designed for us to find a God of our own understanding, get the junk out of our way in the four step, look at our part, set aside, and on page 66 it says, when we are ready to look at our inventory from a completely different angle, from a completely different angle, that means set aside everything that had happened to me and quit playing the victim card. And when I do that, I look at my part and I can see where I am to blame. And when I do that, that is a big deal because all my life, you know what I'm doing? I'm pointing my fingers. They did this, she did that. I'm not saying bad stuff doesn't happen and I didn't have a part in it, but why am I holding on to it? Why am I still holding on to it when it happened years ago? And I live in the pain constantly. And I don't allow him to come in and take it from me. That's what I'm talking about. In the big book of AA, it describes that if we do this work, there are the promises and they'll come to life, right? We intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, if I get in a line that's too long, I don't sit there and go, oh, this is so great. I can't wait for her to write a check. I can't wait for him to find his debit card, right? I'm still selfish and self-centered. I can still be very... condescending to other people, right? But I catch myself and I redirect my thinking and I get out of it because that's a dangerous place for me because it starts there and it ends up in here. Next thing, you guys look horrible. Nothing's right. The coffee's bad. They're not doing it right. Stan's getting the wrong speakers. What the hell's going on in here, man? Don't they know how AA works? How come nobody's shaking my hand when I walk in the room? What the hell is going on? Go shake somebody's hand then. Hello, right? Right? We learn how to take action. Right? Something I didn't do. I didn't learn how to take action until I started doing action. And it says here that once I learn these things, the worst thing I can do is stop right there and say, I'm good. I got a girl now. I got money. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I sponsor a couple guys. They keep me in check. I got a sponsor. And I go to a couple meetings. I'm good. Right? That's danger. It says the next line is in step 10, perseverance. It says, this brings us to step 10, which suggests to set. It says, we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living. As we clear up the past, we enter the world of the Spirit. Now, since that's happened, it says, our next function is to grow. I miss that. It says, do more. Why do I got to do more? Because if I want to stay here and stay peace in my heart, I got to do more. Well, what's the more? 10, 11, and 12. I have to do something with this higher power that I got now. I wonder what they mean by that. And so it says, it gives me direction. It says, it's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. I'm really good at that. We are headed for trouble if we do. Alcoholic is a subtle foe. We are not cure of alcoholism. What we have is a contingent of that day based on my spiritual condition. So I have to build this relationship. In 11, it says, sought through prayer and meditation. That sought means seek. So I didn't, that had to be beaten into me. I'm still running my game at 7 years and 8 years. And then finally said, you know what? Maybe I'll make some time for this guy that saved my life. Why not? These girls didn't work out. That didn't work out. You know, I might as well, because I'm getting pretty lonely now. And he's the only guy that's been there for me. So I guess I'll go ahead and give up. Why not? Right? So then I give up and I start seeking in prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. So my conscious contact is what I do in that moment when I pray. Do I listen? Do I take enough time to not run out the door and wait for some answers to come? Because my whole house is in order, it says, right? And I have to see to it that my relationship with him is right, right? That's what the vision for you talks about, and I'll get into that here in a minute. But I want you to know that this thing is not a perfect, exact science from us. We don't do this thing perfectly. That's why I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's why I have sponsees. That's why I have a sponsor. That's why I have a connection with a higher power. That's why I study this book like my life depends upon it, because it freaking does. And if I don't know how to read, they got Big Book on AA on tape. You can listen to it and they'll read it to you now. They didn't have that when I got here. Dang it. You know, I missed it. But I had to learn what to do in order to stay here. And I really want to stay here because out there is a different spot. There's no place for me to be out here. No corner, no bars, hanging out, waiting for the right girl to fall off the bar still so I can go over and introduce myself. Hi. No, man. I got to man up and go over and meet you like a grown-ass man. Damn it. You know? And let me tell you something. I had to learn that I had intimacy issues here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had to learn that I was broken. I had to learn how to seek help in that area so I can close the gaps in my life so I can go ahead and be a solid human being today. And not look at women as objects and look at women as friends and look at a partner in life, right? I'm not throwing that out there so I get numbers. Don't stop. No. I'm kind of sneaky like that. I just want you to know. But I'm saying these are the things that we're faced with. I didn't come here not broken. I came here broken. And I got tired of being broken in areas of my life that weren't being fulfilled. The things that used to comfort me don't comfort me today. God comforts me today. I can't believe I just said that. But let me tell you something. I am excited to see the path that I'm on. I joined this church last year. And it didn't happen because I wanted to go to church. There was somebody that I knew in my life that was dying of alcoholism. And they said, I want to go to church. I want to go to church and see my family. Take me to this church. I want to see what's going on with my family. And I'm like, well, okay, what church is that? And they said, it's this church, The Bridge. And I was like, oh, man, I went there. don't know if I want to go back there, man. That's hard over there, man. I feel like the place is going to burn down when I walk in, you know? And I went, and I never left the same. It was what I was missing in my life. And it wasn't because that church has a place where I go to hold myself accountable. It was a message that they were talking about in that day, and it was something that fitted in my life right at the right time. And it caught my attention, and I said, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is why I've been so restless, irritable, and discontent. This is why I don't feel grounded yet. This is why I still have intimacy issues in areas of my life that I won't want to go into. But you get the idea. This is why. And it started making sense to me. And I just started going back. And one thing led to another. I got a service commitment because that's what I learned here in AA. Get a service commitment. So I got a service commitment. Then that turned into another service commitment. And then now I have a love for what I get there, the message that I get there. And it all came from Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, couldn't have said that that was going to happen when I walked into the door. And I don't know if that's your promise. It may not be. I'm not here to convince you either he is or he isn't. I'm just telling you my story. My premeditated state when I got here was dysfunctional. And I had contempt prior to investigation. And I wouldn't allow anything that you said or did into my life if it had to do with something that was going to better me. Just wasn't going to do it. I'm going to close with a vision for you. What time I got here? Woo, 5 minutes. And counting. I'm not a man that will go over. Sometimes. If you're here from Santa Maria, you know I can talk, right? The girls in the back, we have a meeting at the airport on Monday night. If you're in the area of Santa Maria on Monday night at 8 o'clock at the airport, Santa Maria Airport, off to the farther side there, you can look it up on aadistrict.com or whatever, on 52nd District, and we have a meeting there. And it's a great meeting. It's out of Bill Sees It, and some of the people that came up tonight are from that meeting that I met, and I love them. I love them dearly. Young people are learning how to do this thing. I love that. I couldn't do this when I was in my 30s. I'm in my 60s. I know it doesn't look like it, but it's true. 64 years old, still kicking. If you can get this thing in your 30s and 40s, man, stay here. Don't go back out there. There ain't nothing out there for you. So it says here in a vision for you on 164, it tells us collectively what these members are telling us to do. They're saying you can do all the work you want. You can sponsor people. You can work these steps. Anyway, that's my opinion. That's what I see on this page. I'll get there right now. I got it. I'm good. Thank you, though. It says, on 164, it says this. God will determine that you must remember that your real reliance is always upon him. I must remember. So when times are hard, when I'm in tribulation, when I'm on a spiral downhill, when the relationship broke up, when things don't seem right, when the job doesn't come, when things are falling apart in my life, when I go through a breakup, that God, I take a moment and do step 11 and thank him that I'm still sober, that I'm freaking sober, and that I have a chance because I'm sober, and I don't pick up no matter what, even if my butt falls off. I find a way to call another alcoholic and I tell him what's going on. And it says, God will determine, right? And it says, he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. So through seeking and prayer and meditation, I'm asking him for guidance. He's putting the right people in my life. And sometimes he takes away the people that I love the most out of my life because they're not good for me. He'll show you the way. That's what it says. And it says this. It says that we will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. Get out of ourselves. And then it goes down to this, my favorite part. It says, abandon yourself. It says, this is the great fact for us. So they're saying, over anything else, we've learned this. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what we find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship, the Spirit, And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. We don't just read that at the end of the meeting because it sounds warm and fuzzy. There's a message in there and there's directions in there. When I read that, that's the fourth and fifth step. Clear away the wreckage of my past. That's also a tenth step, right? And then it says, give freely of what we find. That's step 12. There's a message in that. But I can't get there if I don't do the work. If I just lollygag around, I'm going to stay sober. I've done it. But when I'm dying inside and shit hits the fan and there's no one to call because maybe I'm just friendless that day, maybe I haven't been going to meetings and I started to isolate again, I can call on the God that I found by getting out of the way and ask for help. And he'll calm me down. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm Glenn. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you.